You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Back in 2016, then-Idaho Governor Butch Otter and the Idaho legislature agreed on a new literacy law with a goal. Every student should be able to read at or above their grade level by the end of third grade. They put more money toward literacy, and Governor Brad Little added to that pot of cash just last year. So where are we when it comes to kids and reading? That's the focus of a new multi-part series from Idaho Ed News. It kicked off yesterday with a deep dive into past attempts to increase literacy and where we are today. And today is not as rosy as many would like. With us live in studio to talk about this new series is Kevin Richer with Idaho Ed News. Welcome.
Thank you.
So let's look at where we are. Mm-hmm. So 90,000 K through third graders took Idaho's reading test this fall.
Right.
So how are those kids doing?
Well, the numbers are pretty inconsistent, and they're really lowest with kindergartners. And this, you know, kind of stands to reason. I mean, this is the first test kids take when they get to school, and they take it within the first couple of weeks of school. It's a screen to give teachers an idea of how ready these young kids are to learn to read. I mean, there's a misnomer that we're expecting kindergartners to learn how to read. I mean, they're not being expected to read Dickens here. They're, right. being expected to show that they have an understanding of their letters, letter sounds, how those sounds start to form words that they will in time learn to read. 42% of kindergartners showed up this fall with the pre-reading skills that are deemed to be grade level. And that number is lower than it was a year ago, when only 45% of kinders were showing up at grade level. So the trend line in that area is really discouraging. Now, the numbers went up in first through third grade this fall as opposed to the previous fall. But the 42% number for kindergartners, I think, is pretty alarming. And as I spoke to education leaders around the state, yeah, it's a concern.
And could that be linked to the lack of pre-K?
We're getting there in this series. No, it's a really good question. As we kind of unwrap the layers of the story, obviously the debate over pre-K has been going on for years. Mm-hmm. There's been very little momentum in the legislature towards funding pre-K. That's why we're one of only four states in the union that does not put state money into pre-K. But when I sat down and talked to Brad Little about the reading scores, about his reading initiative, and about pre-K, I think he recognizes that there's an issue there. And as he put it, and I'm not going to give away too much of the story that will run tomorrow, he said, you know, I'm responsible for these kids. I can pretend that I'm not responsible for kids before they show up for school, but that's not the case. So tomorrow's story, one of tomorrow's stories, we'll look at pre-K and the prospects politically for pre-K, and also look at what's going on with all-day kindergarten, which is exploding in schools across the state.
But still not required.
But still not required, and that's the rub. Not only is kindergarten not required for kids, the state only funds a half a day of kindergarten. So for schools to decide to do all-day kindergarten, they have to figure out how to pay for it. And a lot of the schools are using this money from the literacy program and putting it into all-day kindergarten, maybe for all of their kids, or maybe at least for kids who are not reading at grade level.
So let's talk about the history of the reading effort, because this, as we mentioned, this is not a new idea.
Right.
How did we get where we are?
We've been at this for 20 years. This goes back to Dirk Kempthorne and the beginning of his time as governor. He started the first iteration of the Idaho Reading Initiative, and that's kind of where the first version of the test that kids take came from, and that test has evolved and really got an overhaul a couple of years ago. So this has been on the radar for state education leaders and for state political leaders for two decades. It really did ramp up a couple of years ago with Governor Otter's task force. And Governor Little has taken this on as a cause. He has taken this on as probably his top education priority. It may be his top priority, period. He is very steadfast about, I've got to have kids reading at grade level by the end of third grade, or none of this matters. I mean, we can talk about college and career readiness. We can talk about STEM. But if they're not reading at grade level, it doesn't matter. That's not going to happen if we don't have them reading.
But half of the state budget goes to K through 12, correct?
Exactly. And that's part of his argument is, look, if we're putting half of our money into K-12 and kids are leaving third grade and they're not reading at grade level, we're doing something wrong. So his goal is they've all got to be reading at grade level, everybody, 100%. And that's, you know, that's really, it's a statistical impossibility, I guess. And we're a long way from it.
We're talking with Kevin Richert with Idaho Ed News about his new series, Idaho's Reading Challenge. Okay, let's talk about the reading scores, because they jumped around from school to school. Like 80% of K through 3 kids in the West Ada district can read at grade level, but Boise was at 66%, Caldwell was at 51%. Why do we see such a difference?
There are a lot of factors. With Caldwell, one of the factors is demographics. You have high poverty. You have a high percentage of Latino students, a higher percentage of English language learners. And when you look at the scores on the reading test, really when you look at the scores on almost any test throughout the school system, you will see demographic gaps. You'll see achievement gaps based on income, based on socioeconomics, based on ethnicity. That's just a reality, and that's a tough reality that Caldwell is facing. A lot of school districts are facing. Boise was a very interesting case to me. And when I looked at the Boise test numbers, I was quite surprised at what I saw. As I looked at the numbers from last school year, kids in at least 14 of Boise's elementary schools, their scores dropped from the fall of kindergarten to the spring of kindergarten. Basically, the percentage of kids who are at grade level in the fall was higher in 14 schools than it was in the spring. So those kids were just not making up ground over the course of that kindergarten year. They weren't making the progress that
you would
expected to see. It's not that they're reading worse than they were 6 months ago. They were not making progress. And that's still a big concern.
Right, because if you have kids in the school system and they take these tests, I mean, they give them different metrics as the year goes on. So the metrics, or the expectations become higher.
Mm-hmm.
So when they take a test, so we're just not seeing them meet that next metric.
Right. They're not making progress, and there are a lot of reasons why maybe they aren't making progress. One of the concerns that Boise had about what happened last year and what they're trying to do differently this year, they don't feel like they're monitoring the kids enough, that they didn't administer the Idaho Reading Indicator, the screening test, often enough during the course of the kindergarten year. You have to administer it a couple times during the year under state law. Beyond that, schools can administer it as much as they want to try to get more of a real-time sense of how kids are progressing. And Boise's saying, look, we probably didn't give the test enough. So we probably didn't keep track of how kids were progressing during the kindergarten year. We're going to do more during the course of this school year so that we don't repeat the same scenario that we saw unfold the previous year.
Did any of this, or could you even suss this out? My understanding is that they take these tests, they're computerized,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I know just in my case with one of my kiddos that he got up to use the restroom during the test, and the test doesn't stop. So that can affect them taking the test and the amount of time that they're supposed to take the test.
There are a lot of complications with an online test, especially with kindergarten kids. When I talked to Boise about their scores, they said, you know, there are a lot of variables that we're trying to figure out here, that we're trying to do better. We're trying to make sure the teachers are able to keep an eye on how kids are doing, make sure they're on task. And that means you can't administer the test to as many kids as maybe, as you thought you could previously, because you've got to kind of watch these kindergartners and make
sure
they're
doing something. They're 5 and 6 years old.
Yes. But there may be an even bigger issue, and I get into this in the series, the question of giving an online test to kindergartners who may have very little experience with devices. I talked to one parent who's going to be a centerpiece of one of the stories that we run tomorrow, and she said, I expected that my child needed help in reading. I kind of knew that, but I still don't like an online test for my kindergartner because, you know, she's decided as a parent, look, I don't want my kid on devices all the time. He gets to be on a tablet when we're on a plane. He gets to play a game on a phone when we're in a waiting room. As a parent, I want to decide how much screen time my now kindergartner has, and I'm trying to limit that. So her concern, and she's not alone on this, is are we testing these young kids for their computer skills, or are we testing for their language mm-hmm. skills? And her concern, and she's not alone on this, is are we really testing the computer skills and really not getting a good read on kids and their reading skills? It's a big challenge as the state launches into this new exam.
So the state is now giving $26 million to schools to help at-risk readers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how is that money being spent?
Most of it is being spent on personnel. When you look at a big district like West Ada or a big district like Boise, they're getting about $2 million a piece. So they have a lot of money to spend on a lot of staff, reading coaches, folks who can really, kind of dig into early reading. You get into these smaller districts and some of these smaller charters, they're getting maybe a few thousand dollars, $10,000, $20,000. You can't even hire a single full-time teacher with what a lot of these districts and charters are doing. So what I found, and I have found this even with some of the schools that we went to that are seeing improvements, some of the kind of early success stories that we could kind of identify, a lot of them, they're only getting maybe 15, 20, 25,000. They're putting it into paraprofessionals who aren't fully licensed, certified teachers. They're assistants. Some of them work part-time. Some of them work with providing extra help for kids who are behind, or they work with the kids who are at grade level while the teachers work with the kids who need the extra help. It kind of varies from district to district. But what we're seeing is most of the money is going into personnel. It's going into extra staff. It's going into, more bodies in the classroom. And in a lot of cases, that means all-day kindergarten. You have to hire more teachers mm-hmm. to run an all-day kindergarten. So a lot of your money is going into personnel.
So before I let you go, what's next in the series this week?
Well, we look, like I said, we're taking a deeper look at the test and how it's working and some of the concerns about it. We're going to look at this proliferation of all-day kindergarten programs and the prospects for pre-K. We're going to look at the politics in general on Thursday. And then we wrap up on Thursday as well with stories from parents. We had several parents reach out to us as we were doing the series. We put out an interactive. We talked about it here right. on the show some time ago. And we heard from parents and parents from all across the spectrum, parents who my kid just took to reading, and it's just sort of
it's just a
happens,
good reader, right?
And I have that experience as a parent too, but also hearing from parents saying my kid really is struggling or has struggled or has really had to turn around. So we've got really interesting kind of human stories from parents and kids because we can talk about the numbers, we can talk about the percentages behind all of these scores. You got 90,000 kids and 90,000 parents and sets of parents with individual stories. We tried to capture a little bit of that in this series, just as we tried to capture a little bit of the success stories that we're seeing in school districts like Bruno Grandview, Cascade, Notice.
I want to thank you for coming in and talking about this, Kevin. Kevin's new series, Idaho's Reading Challenge, you can find it right now at idahoednews.org. Always good to have you in, Kevin.
Good to see you.
Up next, we're going to take a look at the challenges of dental care in the rural parts of our state. This is Idaho Matters.